Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. God is good. All the time, God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are continue to study the book of Revelation. Now, today is the 25th time that I'm talking about Revelation, and it is called part 24. Praise the Lord. Our text is from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 7, where it says, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in his book." Blessed is he who keeps the word of prophecy in his book. We are in a wonderful time. Wonderful time. Last week, we saw the beauty of the heavenly Jerusalem, the place where all the redeemed will be. It's a place where we are going to be, praise God. The whole chapter of 21 shows the tremendous beauty of the city of Jerusalem. And verses 1 to 6 in chapter 22 are actually a continuation of describing this city. It's partly the close of that vision and partly the beginning of the epilogue of the whole book of Revelation. The description of the city is paralleled to Old Testament prophecy. We are reading from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great city, down the middle of the great street of the city." Hallelujah. John sees a pure river of water of life, not diluted by anything, not diluted by evil. This contrasts the pollution that we heard of and seen in the tribulation. It's totally different. It's like the original state of the Garden of Eden, absolutely perfect. Life and water are often intertwined in scripture, especially in the writings of John, the water and the life. This city also contains a tree of life, something that fallen men have been barred from. You know, there was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and because Eve and Adam, they sinned, they could not partake of this tree. The river is full of water, and the water is the emblem of life. It is a beautiful symbol of life in gladness, in purity, in activity and fullness. The Garden of Eden had a river. Even in the wilderness, Israel had a river when Moses struck the rock and the water gushed out like a river. The prophets in their pictures of the Age of Blessing invariably introduced the river, the mighty stream. Joel saw a fountain of the coming from the house of the Lord. Zechariah spoke of living water from Jerusalem. Ezekiel had the fullest vision when he looked, when he beheld the stream which deepened and broadened and carried life in its train. Everywhere that stream went, things came to life. So all the prophets speak of the river of God's pleasure. And Jesus spoke about this water in John chapter 4 verse 14. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Praise God. Water and life is connected in the Bible. And indeed, without water, we cannot live. We need water to live. Praise God. We read verses 2 and 3. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Praise God. The leaves of the tree are used for the healing of the nations. It means there is eternal health, eternal life in that city. We remember that in the Garden of Eden was a tree of life. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve, they were not permitted to eat of it because they would have lived forever in their sin. But now, since Jesus has paid the ransom, sin is abolished and we are justified. Therefore, we have not only one tree of life, but we have many trees of life. The leaves of the trees provide perfect life. The leaves prevent sickness and disease to come. They give the person who eats a perfect body. That is the perfection that Jesus gives, the perfect healing and deliverance from all suffering, and the perfect body he will provide on that glorious day. There is no more curse. We know that when Adam and Eve sinned, the entire world was cursed. The ground was cursed. Sickness and pain came. Strife and murder and war and death are the results of sin. But since the nations are healed, there's no more curse. That means no more sickness or pain or anything evil. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. There is no curse. Praise God. It's free of evil, free of death. It's perfect and it will last forever. There is no curse of evil or death in that city. The citizens are free from curse. The citizens are free from sickness. There are no doctors are needed because everybody is healthy. Praise God. They are perfected forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Now we are reading verse 4 to 6. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Praise God. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in that city. The Lord's servants will serve God and they will serve Jesus Christ. We will see him face to face. Oh, what glory it will be to see our Lord and God from face to face. We see him, our Lord and God, we will talk to him, we will share with him, we will worship him. What glory it will be. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. To have the name of God written on the forehead of believers means that we are possession. It means possession. It means security. God shall fully possess us completely. We shall belong to him and be under his care, under his love, under his direction, under his guidance, and under his safety. Bless the Lord. There is eternal light in that city. His glory is filling the city so that everything will shine. Sun and moon are not needed any longer. John is instructed to write down these things because they are true. God has sent an angel to John who delivered the word of God. And the word of God is trustworthy. You can believe on it. You can trust in it. It will never change. And it's surely going to take place. Now, Revelation, verses 7 and 9. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all of whom keep the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. Jesus is coming soon, very soon. We have to keep the word of God in the Bible and remember the prophecy that God has given us in Revelation. Don't take that book lightly. Don't take it lightly. There are so many Christians, they don't even read it. But it says, keep the words in this prophecy. Continue to study it. Continue to study it and see the cross references in the Old Testament about the same subject. John was so overwhelmed by what he saw that he fell down to worship the angel. He was so overwhelmed. Remember, in the first chapter of Revelation, Jesus appeared to John. But afterwards, it was the angels who delivered the messages to John. But here again at the end is Jesus. And he's confused. So the angel quickly told him, don't worship me. Don't worship angels. Angels are fellow servants of us worshiping the same God. We see John as he worships that angel. You see, in many Christian denominations and other religions, they worship angels. God said, don't make an image and don't worship them. Yet many think that if they pray to angels, if they pray to Mary and all the saints, their prayers will more certainly and faster be answered. But the angel clearly understood worship only belongs to God. There is no one to be worshipped but God the Almighty. Amen. Verses 10 and 11 of Revelation 22. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Prophet Daniel was told that what he saw was secret. He was not permitted to write it down. It says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, he said, that is the angel who appeared to Daniel, go on your way, Daniel, for the words are secret. The words are secret and sealed until the time of the end. Until the time of the end. And we are in this time of the end. Therefore, the words are revealed to us. Praise God. So John was told not to seal the words of prophecy. For Daniel, innumerable events needed to transpire before his prophecy would be fully meaningful. But for John in the Revelation, no events needed to occur because the time is near. Praise God. He had seen or heard everything that is relevant, which would take place in the end of the times. Even if specific even if specific events are unclear or yet to be fully realized, the message was ready for mankind to hear and to understand. We are in an end time. We have to understand what the word says. No one knows the Lord when the Lord will return, it says in Matthew 24. But the doctrine of immediacy teaches that rapture could occur at any moment from now on. We don't have to wait for any signs to be fulfilled, to recognize that this is the next event in God's timeline. The signs of Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 primarily occur after the rapture, in the tribulation time, before Jesus returns to earth in a blaze of glory. The angel said to John, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. The meaning here is not that evil is encouraged, not at all. Rather, the angel's words are a statement of inevitability. People can do as they do, as they like, but it will not change the plan that God has. In the context of death and the end times, this is a very serious warning. Revelation is a serious warning to us. We have to understand. Unbelievers who reject the gospel, do not receive a second chance to be saved when they die. There's no second chance. Eternity does not change anyone's status. The person who dies in an unsafe condition will be unsaved throughout all eternity in the lake of fire. And the saved person will be saved throughout eternity. When Jesus returns, he will reward the righteous but punish the unrighteous. And the he will reward the righteous, that means those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him, are committed to him. And the unrighteous are those who do not believe, and those Christians who are fleshly, who only think about themselves and not about our Lord. Daniel chapter 10, 12, verse 10, it states that in the end time, many will be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Someday it will be too late for the unsaved to change their destination by repenting and believing in Jesus. Hebrews 3:5 implores us, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And when we continue with Revelation 22, verses 12 to 15. It says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right of the tree of life, may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who laughs and practices falsehood. Again, Jesus delivers a promise to return soon, which comes from Greek word that accurately means quickly. That Jesus says, I am coming quickly. This has more to do with how Jesus is coming than when he is coming. His return will be sudden, unpredictable. Also, the promise includes the fact that God will recompense each person according to his deeds. Faithful believers may anticipate rewards, but fleshly Christians and unbelievers must face punishment. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is different from the judgment given to those who reject Christ. Unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment and be sentenced to eternal suffering in the lake of fire. Jesus identifies himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last. He explains that he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Previously in Revelation, Jesus employed the same description of himself in Revelation 1:8 and 21:6. As Alpha and Omega, he existed before the creation and was with God in the beginning. He is therefore eternal. Often in John's Gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the I am. I am. Present tense. I am is present tense. It's always present. It was present yesterday. Present tense yesterday. It's present tense today. It's present tense tomorrow. Always the same. And he told his foes that he and his father are one. His enemies recognized that Jesus claimed to be equal with God, and they picked up stones because they wanted to stone him to death. They believed that he had committed blasphemy. However long the present creation passes away, Jesus will not pass away. He is eternal. He will ever exist. The washing of robes, as mentioned here in the metaphor, is a metaphor of purification from uncleanness, meaning cleaning from sin. This verse pronounces a blessing on those who are cleansed from their sin, a reverence to those who are saved through their faith in Christ Jesus. This is the seventh blessing that is given in Revelation. The righteous are allowed into the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, a city of gold, and have access to the tree of life. Whereas the righteous may enter the New Jerusalem, the unrighteous are barred from entering the city and from entering from eating from the tree of life. They are described as dogs, sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers, idolaters, lovers, and doers of falsehood. The point in this verse is not to make an exhaustive list of all the sin of those who are barred from the city. It's just a few examples. The point is that those who persist in those types of behaviors, who reject Jesus Christ and refuse to repent, are going to be separated from God in eternity. It's also not a claim that such sins are unforgivable, because Paul recalled that some of the Corinthians had practiced such abominable sins before God saved them. We continue with verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus had sent his angel to deliver the message of Revelation to the Apostle John. He said the message in Revelation is for whom? For the churches. For the churches. Churches should be teaching and leading and heeding the contents of the last book of the Bible. It should be taught. Even though Christians are not reading it, it should be taught. We have to know. To ignore the book of Revelation is the same as rejecting the gift of God, of Jesus Christ, to the church. This verse also tells us Jesus is the root and the descendant of David and the bright morning star. Jesus was born physically as a descendant of David. We read that in Matthew. He is the rightful heir of the kingdom God promised to David in 2 Samuel 7. The angel Gabriel prophesied that Jesus would reign over his kingdom from the throne of his father David. But Jesus is also the bright morning star. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 promises Israel that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. Revelation 22:16 identifies Jesus as a bright morning star. Just as the morning star appears before the sun rises, so Jesus will come for the church before he returns to restore his people Israel. The Apostle Paul affirmed the truth that salvation is a free gift of God. This verse extends the final invitation to sinners to come to Christ and quench the spiritual thirst. The Holy Spirit extends his invitation through the Bible, through the bride, which is the church. Those who come to Christ drink water of life freely, at no cost. Praise God. Revelation 22, verse 14 to 21, conclude the epilogue that was begun in verse 6. It contains promises. It contains blessings. It contains an invitation and a warning. And it includes a benediction. The Old Testament closed with a promise that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. The New Testament closes with a promise that the bright morning star will come, just as the church before this return to restore Israel to himself. Then the last verses, 22, verse 18 to 21. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The prophecies in this book of Revelation are so important and so true, and they are not fake. Jesus warns sternly not to add to these words of Revelation. And next verse also condemns those who would attempt to censor this book. Adding to the book of Revelation brings God's judgment. Plagues will fall on the one who adds to this revelation. It might refer to those who try to make the writing say things that it doesn't say, or changing the text for their own ends. Adding comments, content, or interpretations which minimize Revelation's commands and promises is the same as calling the Holy Spirit a liar. When Moses gave statutes and rules and laws to Israel, he warned, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you," Deuteronomy 4. Also in Deuteronomy 13, the Lord warned everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take from it. Proverbs 30:5 and 6 says, every word of God proves true. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. God's word is perfect, authoritative, and it doesn't need human people to tell the law. In the prior verse, God warned against adding to revelation by either adding to the text or trying to force in meanings which the Holy Spirit did not intend. God's warning here extends to those who detract from the book of Revelation and from all of Scripture. Those who say parts of the Bible are true, and other parts they reject and say that is not true. As with the prior warning, this can be taken to mean editing the text or trying to explain away or misinterpret those aspects of the message if you don't like it. And there are many, indeed many, who say the miracles that Jesus performed were not real miracles. They tried to explain everything how it was, so that Jesus was made to be a normal human being who cannot perform any miracles. They explain away everything they can. They say the book of Revelation is not true. It's just something how it could be. Those who take away from God's word will not share in the tree of life. You see, if you take away, you will not eat of the tree of life or have access into the eternal city. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed, and that is what we believe, that the word of God was not written by somebody who had a good idea. It was written because it was God-breathed. Anyone who detracts from scripture hurts not only those others, but also he hurts himself. We need the entire body of scripture to believe right and to behave right. We do not dare to reject passages of scripture because they convict us or contradict to what we believe. We cannot choose to believe some passages are from God and others are not. How do you know what passages are from God and what are not? Everything in the Bible is from God, and there is no change to that. Praise God. We read verses 20 to 21. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. Jesus affirms that he is surely coming soon. As with similar statements in the Revelation, this is translated from the Greek word tachis, which literally means quickly. That Jesus is saying, I'm coming quickly. There are no more major events needed to precede his coming. Nothing needs to be done anymore. We are in the end time. The rapture may be soon. It can be today or tomorrow. But the time of Jesus' return is locked up in the counsels of God. You know, there are two comings of Jesus. One is when he calls us to meet him in the air. That means he is not coming to the earth. He is waiting for us in the air and calls us up to him. And the second time after the tribulation is when he comes back physically into the world to reign the world from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So whenever he comes, the event will be quickly. 1 Corinthians 50:52 describes the event as occurring in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. John and the other disciples, they heard Jesus promise, "I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." We read of the Apostle John's prayer, where he says, "Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." The last words in our Bible, "Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha." We are waiting for him. Every prophecy regarding Jesus' first coming was fulfilled literally. And every prophecy about his second coming is going to be fulfilled literally. Jesus promises to return must have encouraged John when he endured his exile on the island of Patmos. When he heard these words, they were encouragement to him. John concluded the book of Revelation with a benediction. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." Amen. The grace of our Lord saved John. It saved John in many situations and sustained him during his exile in Patmos. It's also provided him with the privilege of seeing the sights that God has shown him and his position in heaven and the privilege of learning and writing about the Lord's future plans. I have taught you through the book of Revelation, 25 parts. Those of you who didn't follow this teaching, you're foolish. You're foolish. Because the book of Revelation is prophecy that is being fulfilled in our days. While we are here on earth, during this time, it's being fulfilled. Not only those who are fully committed to Jesus Christ and the church will have part of the rapture. It doesn't matter how religious you are, because religion cannot bring you to heaven. Religion cannot bring you into the heavenly Jerusalem. Religion does not forgive your sin. Those who are not in the rapture will have to live through the tribulation. If you become a Christian during the tribulation, you can be sure and most probably you will be executed. Revelation is a warning of things to come and a warning to be committed to God and to his church. Committed to God and to his house. It's a warning, therefore nobody should take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Go through all the teachings again. I will add one more part next week. I will talk about the climate change, the pandemic, and vaccinations, and all these kind of things. This is actually a part that should have been during the tribulation, before the coming of Jesus Christ. But please be present next week. Be present and listen what the Spirit says. And those of you who would like to hear the whole messages again, contact me. I will send you a stick with all the messages about the book of Revelation. Amen.